I need you to get some things out for me. If you have a checkbook or a wallet, could you please get that out and hold it in your right hand? If you have a Palm Pilot, or if you have a, what are they called, daytimer appointment book or whatever, get that out. Also, hold it on your in your left hand. Now, we do things traditionally here at The Rock. We usually hold some things up. I've gotten a couple new items for us to hold up today, okay? So on the count of three, let's raise our checkbooks or our wallets. On the count of three, let's say checkbook. One, two, three. Well, that wasn't very loud. Let's try that one more time. One, two, three. Okay, if the ushers could come now, and they're going to collect all of these from you. Just kidding. Okay, let's lift up our daytimers or our palms, and we'll say palms on the count of three. One, two, three. Lord, thank you for our checkbooks. Thank you for our wallets. Thank you for how you've blessed us. Thank you, Lord, for the life you've given us, that we can make appointments, that we can walk and we can breathe. But we thank you more than all those things for the Word of God. We thank you that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It sustains us. It gives us life. It shows us the way in which we're to live. And we pray that you would bless the Word of God in your name today. Amen. Let's open our Bibles up to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Before we get started, I do want to plug one thing. I've been blessed to be in quite a few different places in my lifetime. I've been able to go to school. I've been able to teach. I've been able to go to seminary. And I want to share something with you that you need to know about, that what the Lord is doing here is very special. Doesn't make us special, it's just he's very special. And one of the things that he's doing here is he's creating a university that we call The Rock University. And I want to tell you that the quality of teaching that's coming out of this university is unrivaled, in my opinion. And we have some incredible classes that are coming up. This would be a great opportunity for you to stop by the table today and to take a class. Every one of you. We have a class that's coming up that's primarily on the book of Zechariah. It's a one-unit class, so it's just one day a week. Information's at the table. And then we're excited for the next 3 or 4 months. Let me just give you a little glimpse. In the month of January, Chapin Marsh is going to be teaching a class on faith. And one of the things, if you don't know Chapin well, you know that he is a very inspirational man of God. And one of the gifts that God has given him is the gift of faith. And remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I want to encourage you to take that class. It's also got a lab session, a wilderness experience, which is offered when the snow melts, okay? In February, Miles is going to be teaching a class at Rock University on preaching, okay? So that will be it's an incredible gift that the Lord has given Miles, and that's an opportunity for you to sit under his teaching and to learn exactly, because Miles was saying this the other day to us. He knows that he needs to replace himself. He knows that the Lord, people have come up to him and say, God wants me to learn from you. And so one of the areas that he wants to be obedient is teaching what God has taught him and how to preach. And so that's going to be in February. And then in March, we're offering comparative religion study. And then in April, a class on eschatology. So these are quality courses. They're available for you, and you need to get involved. Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is our reading for today from the Daily Walk. The word of the Lord says, "And together and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain." Working together with who? Jesus. Working together with him. We are co-laborers one with another, but don't forget who you're working for. Okay, you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. And the purpose of your existence here on earth is to work for the kingdom of God. Amen? So do not forget that you're working together with him. And I urge you not to treat the grace of God as mundane or common. We're saved by grace. What a tremendous gift that God reached down and saved our souls. And it's through grace that we're saved. Amen? Now let's go on. Verse 2 says, "For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now, right now is the acceptable time. Now, right now, the Spirit of God wants to speak to your heart. What is it that God wants to do right now in your life? There's a curse that I'll share with you. It's called the curse of tomorrow. And many of you are going to hear this message today, and you're going to hear a voice somewhere inside of you that says, "That's a great challenge for you. You should get started on that tomorrow." It's a curse. Now is the time. Today is the day. This is the moment. The Spirit of God is here among us right now. May we truly have ears to hear and eyes to see what God wants to do right now. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 49. What does the Lord want to do? What is it time for? First and foremost, it's time to wake up. It's time to take back all that God has for us. It's time to restore the land. It's time to do away with a watered-down version of Christianity. It's time. It's time for us to search for the pure form of Christianity and not settle for anything less than that. It's time for the fire of God to burn within us that we can't help to be excited about what God is doing and go forth. In Isaiah chapter 49, what time is it? It says in verse 8, "Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you. And I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people." What time is it? To restore the land and to make them inherit the desolate heritages. What's that mean? To restore the land? To inherit the desolate heritages? I had a thought. It goes something like this. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. What Thanksgiving is for most Americans is to remember our heritage, to remember our beginnings. I want to take you back and remind you of a few things. Because religion today, Christianity, has become that. It's a watered down version of what God had originally planned for us. When our nation was founded, it was a nation that was founded upon principles. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Religious freedom. One nation under God. Let me remind you of one thing. I wish I could preach today a different message, but the one God has a name. There is only one name that's above all name. And it's by this name and this name alone that mankind is saved. I wish there were more names. I wish there was a lot of different paths to God. But there's only one name. There's only one path. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Now, with that in mind, we as a nation have watered down the meaning of our heritage, of our religious freedoms. We have proclaimed tolerance for all gods. But today, we need to wake up. I believe that on 9/11, a variety of things happened. But one thing in particular that happened is that I believe an alarm went off. And we need to wake up. And we need, as a people of God, to rise up and say, you know what? I'm putting my hand to the plow. You know what? I believe Jesus is coming back soon. And you know what? When Jesus comes, I don't want to be found sleeping. When Jesus comes, I want to be found with my hand to the plow working for the kingdom of God. I don't want to be found in a compromising position. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be cold. I want to be sold out on fire burning for Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we need to wake up to. That's what we today, remember, today is the day. Now is the time. This is the moment for you to make those decisions that will put you back where you need to be. Again, there's only one name. Those desolate heritages that we just read about, I believe is what our forefathers stood for. I believe they came in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that to be true. And I think it's time for us as the people of God to stand up and say, yes, it is one nation under God. Let me tell you who that God is. Jesus Christ. Well, it goes on. What time is it? Not only are we to restore the land, but in verse 9 it says, say to those who are bound, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Along the roads they will feed, and their pasture will be on all bare heights. They will not hunger or thirst, nor will the scorching heat or sun strike them down. For he who has compassion on them will lead them, and will guide them to springs of water. I will make all mountains a road, and my highways will be raised up. Behold, these will come from afar, and lo, these will come from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Shout for joy, O heavens, and rejoice, O earth. Break forth into joyful shouting, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. The palms of Jesus Christ not only have wounds, you know, they say the only man-made things in heaven will be the wounds inflicted on Jesus Christ. But on those outstretched hands, not only is there a piercing, but your name inscribed on the palm of his hands. The name, his name, is the name above all names, and in him we are saved. Now, what time is it? What time was it? You see, for the people of Israel, Isaiah was a prophet that was to wake them up, to remember who they were, because they were falling asleep. And after Isaiah came Jeremiah, and through the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, "You've forgotten the Lord your God. You have forgotten the commandments of what the Lord has commanded you to do. And so you will be taken away into captivity. But it will not be forever. God will not forget you forever. There's a precise time. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. And at the end of those 70 years, you shall return." What happened? What time was it? The people of God fell asleep. Just like today. The church here in America, for the most part, has fallen asleep. And we've been in an American form of bondage, captivity. The people of Israel had their temple destroyed. They had their walls torn down. And as a nation, they were taken off by a river called Kebar in Babylon, and all of them were removed from the land. In despair, they laid their harps, their guitars and drums and whatever, by the river, and they just wept for thee, Zion. And yet, through the prophets, the word came forth, "I will call you out. There will be an alarm that will ring. My people shall return. You must wake up." But for 70 years, the people were assimilated into the Babylonian culture. Let's think about that for a moment. Remember I said, are you tired of a watered-down version of Christianity? Is that really what we have here today? Or do we have an American form of that? Have we been transformed by the renewing of our mind and squeezed into the mold of our American culture? Or are we transformed and squeezed into the kingdom of God? That we've been renewed. We're not conformed by this world. An alarm's going to go off. There were 500,000 people in Babylon, if not more. And when the alarm went off, and it did, to the day, 70 years later, an alarm went off. And the class that we're going to offer for the Rock University, names like Joshua, not the early Joshua, later one, Zerubbabel, Haggai, Ezra, Nehemiah, Zechariah. The alarm went off, and it was time to return. Of those 500,000 plus, how many woke up and said, "Here am I. I'm ready to go." The Word of God tells us that there were less than 50,000 that returned. What happened to the rest? They had blended in to the culture and the society around them. They didn't feel an urgency to return. Would God's ways be thwarted? No. God would always work through a remnant. And there were 50,000 people that returned. What did they return to? What was it time for them to do? They returned to a land where the altars had been smashed, where the temple had been completely destroyed, and where the walls of the city had been torn down. And God said, "Are you ready? Are you ready to roll your sleeves up? Are you ready to get busy? Are you ready?" You see, this message is not going to be for everybody. This message is going to be for those that are the ones that are going to do the foundational work. As you walked in here today, you know that San Diego State is under construction, right? There's a lot of work. A lot of holes are being dug. A lot of foundations are being laid. It's the hard work that nobody sees, because when the structure's done, you don't see the work that went into the infrastructure. Right now, God is calling forth the people of God to roll up their sleeves, to get dirty, to do the work of the infrastructure. It's a lot easier to do the final touches, but God is calling us at this time because the alarm is ringing, and it's time for the people of God to do one of two things. Hit the snooze button and say, this is not my time. I'll get to it tomorrow. Or it's time to raise my hand and say, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Today's the day for me. Let's open our Bibles now to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51. You know, I don't know about you, but there are some mornings when I know it's time to get up that I have this thought in my mind that said, oh, God, please, could I sleep just a little bit longer? Just a little bit longer. Please, not right now. Why is it today this had to go on? I feel so tired. That, have you ever done that? Have you ever just wanted to hit that button and just put it off? Just, you know what? I'm not doing it today. Okay? No. But you hear that voice. You have responsibilities, don't you? It's really not optional for you. Time has come. Time to wake up. Time to get up. Chapter 51 says, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord. Is that you? Listen to me. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and the quarry from which you were dug. Verse 9, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Verse 11, so the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion. An everlasting joy will be on their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Verse 14, the exile will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. Verse 17, rouse yourself, rouse yourself, arise, O Jerusalem. Chapter 52, verse 1, awake, awake, clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion, clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come to you. Shake yourselves from the dust and rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. You will be redeemed. The alarm is sounding. It is time today. It is time this moment for the church of Jesus Christ, to put away a diluted version of our Christianity. It's time for those that call themselves the church to rise up and to say, you know what? I am not going to be satisfied with anything less than all that the Lord has for us. Period. I want to be sold out for Jesus Christ. Again, my hand is going on the plow. I'm not going to turn back. Christ is coming soon. What condition will your life be found in? For these people, the 50,000, they returned. Now, what happened? Was it just blessing upon blessing upon blessing? Not hardly. 50,000 of them returned. They began by building the altar, and they completed it, and daily sacrifices began. Then they began to build the temple. But as they began to build the temple, hostilities arose. Trouble in the land. Some people wanted to help. Some people who did not serve Yahweh, our God, said, hey, let us help you because we'll worship God there too. And they had to say, no. We're not all inclusive. We're only serving Jesus. Or at least that would be for us today. And as they began to work, all of a sudden, stoppages occurred along the way. Now, what happens when we hear the call of God and we respond and we break into that sprint and we think everything should happen very smoothly for us, but that's not what the Word of God tells us. Jesus himself said, it's through many hardships, it's hard to enter the kingdom of God. It's through many trials that we enter the kingdom of God. Have you been reading in your daily walk? Have you read about the life of Paul? Of all the different things that he endured? You would think if it was somebody like Paul, whatever he set his hand to do, it would be done immediately. But it was through many hardships, stoppages along the way. And when things get into neutral, it's easy to say, we must have been wrong. Let's fall back asleep. I'm tired. This just must not have been the Lord. Because God will test our hearts. And God is looking for those that will endure to the end. You've heard it before. The Christian walk is not a sprint. God's not looking for those that can run a 4.340. Okay? Football coaches do, but God doesn't. Okay? God is looking for those that will finish the race, that are going to finish it. So, with that in mind, back in time, those captives from Babylon who went back and began to build, they got tired and they got weary, and so God anointed a prophet to speak to them. Let's try to find the book of Haggai. Okay? Take a look. Somewhere towards the end of the Old Testament. If I find it first, I'll give you a page number. Great. 1524, if you've got one of these. Okay, if not, you're on your own. Okay, Haggai. And so the people returned, they built the altar, and then they started to build the temple, but they got tired. They got weary. It was too much work to do. There were other priorities that they wanted to take care of, i.e. their own homes. And so they laid aside the work of God, and they began to think about themselves. I wonder if that's relevant to the day in which we live. Chapter 1, verse 1 of Haggai. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. What a phrase. The word of the Lord came by the prophet. You know, we need to hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came and we heard. I want to encourage you, just as an aside, to attend the Tuesday night Bible study. We just read that Paul in the Corinthians passage, better titled for us, the Californian passages, talked about the need and the desire that all would prophesy. We need to hear the word of the Lord. And it's difficult to do that in a setting such as this, but in small groups, we need to hear the word of the Lord. And Tuesday night is a night that's set aside at the Rock offices, to gather together to pray. And as you gather together and join us for a couple hours of prayer, let me tell you, you're going to hear the word of the Lord. And God is going to speak. And we're going to see prophecy in our midst in that day. Make sure that you're not too busy to be doing the work of the Lord. We'll talk about that in a moment. But back to this passage. Verse 2 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet," the word of the Lord, "saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, and yet you still thirst. You put on clothes, but no one's warm. And you earn wages only to put them into a bag filled with holes. Thus says the Lord, consider your ways." Is that us? Are we working so hard for ourselves that the house or the work of the Lord is secondary? And we strive and we work only to find we're not warm, we're still thirsty, and we're not satisfied. It's because we're not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because if you delight yourself in the Lord, then all these things will be added unto you. And if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's the key. And so as that alarm goes off today, are you hearing it? Can you hear the alarm? Is your hand reaching out to hit the snooze button? Or is today the day? Is this the moment that you will rise up? Is today the day? Is this the moment? Because the word of the Lord goes on saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Yeah, but Lord, what should we do then? Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. Lord, what should we do? Seek first the kingdom of God. Put me first in all you do, and I'll restore the land. Put me first in all you do, and revival will break forth. If my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I'll heal the land. We don't usually read it that way. America needs to repent. No, the church needs to repent. And when the church repents. Remember, the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro, seeking those whose hearts are loyal to him. Today is the day. This is the moment. This is the time. Well, with that in mind, let me read you something from the Daily Walk as we get ready to conclude. Today is the 25th, and on November 25th, that would be today, we read this. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you died, leaving behind nothing except your checkbook, your appointment calendar, and your Bible, what would others conclude about your life? What would you want them to conclude? Wow. If you died, and the only thing that was left, and there was some sort of a court that was called in session and say, we need to consider this person, who were they? And you were not there to testify. They wanted hard evidence. I'm always reminded of a movie that is very old, but it's one of those scenes that I'll never forget. The movie is called Brother, Son, Sister, Moon, and it's about St. Francis of Assisi. And if you've seen the movie, you're going to understand. You're going to go, oh, yeah, I remember that. But it was snowing outside, and Francis was barefoot, and he was picking up a cornerstone and carrying it. And a friend of his named Bernardo, who had just come back from the Crusades and had heard what had happened to Francis and, quote, wanted to help, he went out to Assisi to this chapel they were rebuilding, and he was yelling at Francis, and he says, Francis, I'm here to help. I want to do this and this and this and this and this. And then there's a moment where the snow is falling and Francis lifts his head up and he says these words. He said, words, Bernardo, words. There was a time I used to believe in words. Wow. The next scene shows Bernardo in the snow, barefoot, carrying things also. Okay? You know, there's a time where we can't defend ourselves just by our words. If I were to pull out your checkbook and I opened the ledger up, what would I conclude about you? Would there be enough evidence here to say whoever is the owner of this checkbook obviously was a Christian? Do you know what a tithe is? Do you know that tithing should not be considered optional to the believer? A tithe is, at least here at The Rock, we ask that you pray about a tithe being 10% given to the work of the Lord. There are those that would say, that's an Old Testament concept. You should be thankful that we're going by the Old Testament concept, because Jesus would say, give it all to me. Okay? Period. But do you know that 10% should be non-negotiable? That's a tithe. As we go through the ledger, is that visible in your checkbook? But besides tithes, there's a thing called offerings. That's above the tithe. As you go through your checkbook, do you read things like Voice of the Martyrs? Do you read things like Good Samaritan, Samaritan's Purse? Nehemiah Project. Is there any evidence? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. We can talk a good talk, words, but where's the evidence? How about your appointment book? This is a tithe of your treasure. This is a tithe of your time. Are you in a small group? You should be. Or are you too busy? Can't fit it in. Too busy. I don't know about that. Tithe of your time. How about Tuesday night? How many weeks have we heard a series on prayer? Are we getting it? God's a patient teacher, by the way. If we don't get it yet, he'll say, let's take another lap. Okay? He's got a message for us, and if you're wise, you want to learn that lesson early so you don't have to be running that course over and over again. God is saying to us, my house, the Rock Church, shall be a house of prayer. Not a house of just worship, not a house of preaching and teaching, but my church will be a house of prayer. How about this Tuesday night, circling a date, or the next one, or whatever, within the next month, and say, you know what, I need to get on my knees and to be at my church's prayer meeting. You've heard me or someone say this before. You can tell the popularity of a Sunday morning of the church by the attendance Sunday morning. You can tell the popularity of the pastor by the attendance of the Sunday evening service. And you can tell the popularity of Jesus by the attendance of the midweek prayer meeting. Let me give you some facts. We average about 3,500 people here. In the evening services, we average about 1,000 people. You can tell the popularity of our pastor. Look around. This was a hard day to come to church and find your way here, and yet we're fairly full. You can tell the popularity of the Rock Church. But I'll tell you, there are 20 people on Tuesday nights. There needs to be 1,000. We need to outgrow that facility. Pray about being a part of that. So your checkbook, your Palm Pilot, the Word of God. How are you in the Word of God? Do you spend time daily in the Word of God? If this was left, would people open it up and say, wow, this dude wore it out? There's writing all the way through. It's underlined. There's notations or whatever. Or have you seen those Bibles that have that golden leaf that sometimes the pages are all stuck together? And they're saying, boy, this is like new. We could probably resell this thing, you know? How are you in carrying your Bible? Is it fit? Do you take it to work? Do you take it to school? Do you have time that you spend daily in the Word of God? Daily in the Word of God? I'm going to encourage you to carve out that time. I'm going to encourage you to say, you know what? I'm going to invest in the kingdom of God. I've heard the alarm. It's gone off. I need to invest my talent. I need to invest my time. I need to get into Rock University. I can do that. It's available for me. I need to grow. Because why? I think you would all agree. On 9/11, an alarm went off. And I believe that God says, church, get busy, because I'm coming soon. Church, it's my desire that not one perish, no, not one. I am going to save as many people as possible through your ministry. But church, there's no tomorrow. Church, it's today. Now is the time for you to invest. Now is the time for you to wake up. And the good news is this. He's here to meet you. I'm going to ask the band to come up. And we're going to conclude this service by doing a couple of things. First of all, know this. Always know that at the end of the service on both sides, if you want extra or more prayer, please go spend time praying. But there's a song that the Union Band led us with to begin with, and we're going to end our service with this same song. And the song is Hungry. Now, last week, our pastor taught us something. He taught us something about worship, and it looks like this, right? That we're going to lift our holy hands before the Lord. This song is a message in itself. This song is the conclusion of our service. We're hungry, Lord. We're hungry, and we want more of you. Lord, we're hearing the alarm, and as the people of God, today is the day for me. Today's my day to get things right with you, to stand before you, to worship you, and to leave that hand upraised saying, here I am, Lord. Send me. Let's stand, and let's sing.